It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, another plague day. It's the 7th of May, 2020. It's a Thursday. It's a Thorona in the side Thursday here at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap extravaganza of a multimedia nature that is the Horn chat room. Pick out a screen name and a password. And jump right in. You'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and House of Roberts and Jimmy and Lou and Otto and Squeaky. And at present, moderated only by little old yours truly, who won't be doing much moderating because it's hard to moderate a chat room and do a radio program at the same time. Still, come on by. People will be glad to see you. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude because you are the ones who make this conversation and this community possible. So thanks go out to our seventh day of the month, not seventh day adventurers, our seventh day of the month subscribers at PayPal. Thanks to Brock, thanks to James, thanks to Reed, and thanks to Dr. Allen. Thank you all most kindly. So we are apparently banging along nicely on both streams. The issue last night had to do with Chrome and not wanting to work with the streaming server. But Brother Deacon Asa, because he uses those Brother Deacon powers so effectively, has gotten that sorted out, so things are good at TuneIn, things are good at HeadOn.live, things are good at White Rose, and I hope they stay that way, and I hope maybe we don't just buffer up. I hope Frontier doesn't run under the bed, but then again, we got clear blue skies, and that sometimes frightens the bejesus out of Frontier. We'll just have to play it by ear and see. By the way, if you'd like to help out and be a subscriber, we'd mightily welcome you to the happy little band, the merry little band, we few, we happy few, who keep the program going. For about every 100 listeners, there's one person who supports the program. It would be great if you became one of those, if you can, because these are uncertain and terrifying times, and there's no doubt about that. The fundraising goal for the evening stands at $474. So that means we took care of Monday, and we took care of $126 worth of Tuesday, and that leaves yesterday and today. So $474, hopefully we'll knock that down a bit because got a great big bill to pay tomorrow, so the program can keep going. Let's see, where to start? Let me just check in on a couple of things here. Our condolences going out to Randy and PA's family. His sister-in-law's elderly mother was just taken by the virus. Randy pointing out, the problem is she really won't get closure. The funeral will probably have to be virtual. Oh, the things we're learning. The things we're learning to endure. Randy, please accept our kindest and warmest and fondest condolences. So sad. It is Thorona in the side Thursday, and along those lines, a news story broke earlier today, and it's one of those where you look at it and say, well, of course, because, well, they are who they are. They are who we thought they were. Coach Dennis Green. I mean, this is, and you know, these are known scumbags, so known scumbags behaving in a known scumbag way. Well, it's hardly surprising. Just the same, it is disgusting. Yeah, that's a word. Disgusting is a word. It is revolting. Sickening, but not surprising. What I'm talking about is a piece of news concerning, I don't know if you even caught this earlier, but a woman accused Dr. Anthony Fauci of sexual assault not long back. Her name, is Diana Andrade, A-N-D-R-A-D-E. And she claimed that Anthony Fauci sexually assaulted her. Well, she has recanted that claim. Diana Andrade has. And she's even gone so far as to explain how it was that she came to make the accusation. This is, like I said, disgusting, revolting. She was paid, you see, Diana Andrade. She was paid to make the allegation. And she recorded a conversation with the folks who paid her. And to double down on the horror of it all, what she did is she repurposed the facts from a real sexual assault that she had suffered. When she was a teenager. She had just gotten out of high school, and Diana Andrade was sexually assaulted. And the two white men who solicited her falsehoods, her false accusation of rape, sent a person around with some money for her. It's probably going to come as no surprise. Oh, hi, I'm Bob. It's probably going to come as no surprise that the persons who solicited this vicious, malicious accusation. Well, it was Jacob Wohl and his old pal, Jack Berkman. You may recall that they tried to dummy up a rape accusation against Robert Mueller as well. And they tried to dummy up a rape allegation against Elizabeth Warren. Well, Diana Andrade, I guess, had a change of heart or a sudden attack of conscience. And she didn't, and it wasn't enough just to say that, to tell her story. She, by God, recorded this human filth, admitting what they had done. They went so far, Wohl and Berkman did, to ask her if she could find some other woman who would accuse Dr. Fauci of sexual assault. They're walking free, both of these individuals. Apparently there is no criminality when a couple of Republicans do something like this. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. And, of course, Wohl and Berkman are big-time maggots. So Diana Andrade wrote off to Reason magazine and sent along the audio recording. It's about 9 minutes and 35 seconds, the phone call. I'll save us the trouble. But the reason I mention this is because not only in the recording, not only do they discuss this nasty business of a false rape allegation, and you know, this has ramifications beyond one person's reputation. This does tremendous damage to the notion, just as Tara Reid has done, to the notion of believing women. It's going to do that for some. All you can do is listen to the account and then investigate and see if the facts can be proven. That's what any criminal investigation is. And the reason they wanted to go, this young punk, Jacob Wohl, I think he's the youngest person ever to be banned from stock trading in the history of the stock exchange. The reason they went after Dr. Fauci is because they saw him as an enemy to Clorox Claudius's reelection hopes. In the recording, you can hear Jack Berkman say, "Let me tell you something, Diana. This guy shut the country down. He put 40 million people out of work. In a situation like that, you have to make up whatever you have to make up to stop that train. And that's the way life works, okay? That's the way it goes." So, by any means necessary, up to and including attempting to destroy the reputation of a reasonably well-respected scientist and researcher who didn't shut the economy down. The virus shut the economy down. The virus shut the country down. The negligence, the willful, wanton, and malignant refusal to take the warning seriously by Corona Claudius shut the country down. We know, based on yesterday's revelations, that he is personally responsible for around 50,000 excess deaths deaths that would not have happened had he responded even a week earlier than he did. But Jacob Wool and Jack Berkman see it entirely differently. They see it as some sort of nefarious plot to destroy Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump is doing a magnificent job by himself of destroying the country. There's a good bit more in those 9 minutes and 35 seconds. And I mentioned, I went to this story first because of what Randy had mentioned about his sister-in-law losing her mom to COVID-19. Jack Berkman continues, and I wonder if how this sounds in the original German. He told Diana Andrade, Mother Nature has to clean the barn every so often. Barn. Barn. Because the human beings who are being killed by this virus are mere livestock at best. To Jack Berkman and Jacob Wool. Mother Nature has to clean the barn every so often. How real is it? Who knows? How real is it? He's not talking about the imaginary barn. He's talking about the very non-imaginary virus. How real is it? Who knows? Well, scientists know, but these two filthy maggots come from a movement that pays no mind to science. Because maggots. How real is it? Who knows? So what if 1% of the population goes? So what if you lose 400,000 people? 200,000 were elderly. The other 200,000 are the bottom of society. You gotta clean out the barn. If it's real, it's a positive thing, for God's sake. $200,000 were elderly. The other $200,000 are the bottom of society. Well, I guess Jack Berkman has a little bit of table manners because he didn't say the word that was probably banging loudly on the inside of his skull. So what if you lose 400,000 people? Then Jacob Wool interjects himself into the conversation and said, what could be wrong, Diana? You did a good job. You got paid. What's the problem? What seems to be the issue? You're freaking out. You're texting me late at night. What's the issue? Also on the tape, she asked these two scums whether the guy who brought her five figures worth of money, that's, in other words, something north of $10,000, was really a lawyer. And Wool responded, yeah, he's a real lawyer. He's a good lawyer. They'd told her that he had White House connections. What did Trump know, and when did he know it? And so it's all been published. It's all of record now. Diana Andrade said, I don't know how they do all these things and why they do all these things. He tried to frame Mueller. I'm like, how is he not in jail? And that's a damn fine question. We've got lawyers in this group, in this community. Is none of that conduct illegal? Can you really just pay somebody to tell an outrageous, blatant, and vicious lie? And that's all right? I mean, there's the possibility of some sort of defamation suit or something like that. But that's civil. That's not criminal. This kind of stuff is Jacob Wool and Jack Berkman, need to go to prison for a very long time. I bet I know why they probably won't. The probably why they won't is named Bill Barr to Prosecution. And he is, man, he's earning his pay. How's he not in jail, asked Steve. New York, two words, Bill Barr, exactly where I was going. Because Bill Barr to Prosecution had his Justice Department today announce that they were giving up on the prosecution of the traitorous dirtbag, Michael Flynn, who, in federal court, under oath, has already admitted, confessed, to violations of the federal law. Now he says he didn't really. But that only reinforces the fact that Michael Flynn is a liar. Were you lying then, or were you lying then? Or were you lying the other time? You were lying at one point in time, and that makes Michael Flynn a liar. But Bill Barr reached down and touched Michael Flynn with his golden finger, and the prosecution is supposed to just go away. Well, the lead prosecutor on the case immediately quit. I don't know that the lead prosecutor quit the Justice Department, but definitely quit this scam of a prosecution. We, and this is not hyperbole, or at least I do not intend it as hyperbole on my part. We are living in a lawless nation. We are become a failed state. There is massive outrage at this recent revelation. As there well should be. The news only broke, you know, earlier this afternoon. Tracy sent me the story and said, I can't with these people. I just can't, and I understand. I'd like to scream. I'd like to rant and rave and carry on. But who's surprised by this manifest corruption? This banana republic behavior? Not me. I suspect. You aren't at all either. Among other things, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler is not at all impressed or pleased with this. He noted, this is outrageous. Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to investigators. The evidence against him is overwhelming. Now a politicized DOJ is dropping the case. The decision to overrule the special counsel is without precedent and warrants an immediate explanation. Well, he won't get one because Nitwit Nero has decided that there will be no further cooperation in any way, shape, form, or fashion with the House of Representatives because they're Trump haters. Yep. in regard to my statement that we're living in a lawless nation. Brother Deacon Asa says, you know, you've said it before, Somalia with cable. And that was their goal all along. Politico described the whole thing thusly. The DOJ has abandoned its prosecution of President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, throwing in the towel on one of the most prominent cases brought by special counsel Robert Mueller. Mueller will probably remain silent. Pity that. Todd in South Carolina stands says, yes, Banana Republic, USA under Papa Doc Trump and his coup and his junta. And so the question then becomes, what do you do about this? Sure, Jerry Nadler's outraged. I'm sure Nancy Pelosi's outraged. Chuck Schumer's outraged. There's outrage all over the place. This is the outrage du jour. Just because, I guess. Yeah, Kyle asking, is it too soon or out of line to call it the fascist states of America? Serious question. No, it isn't too soon, and it's not out of line. I don't think it's out of line to describe things factually and not engage in wishful thinking. Clarence in South Carolina points out, the Flynn case dropped. Yep, white privilege rules. That's some privilege, that white privilege. As to cleaning the barn, Steve in New York says, what they really meant was cleaning the stalls of excrement. What two wretched scumbags they are. Yeah. Yeah, they described 400,000 Americans as excrement. Because it's who they are. As to Tracy's response of, I just can't with these people, Steve notes, when something surprises a strong black woman because of what she's had to deal with in this country for generally people for centuries, you know it's fucked up then. So true. Oh, come on, Bob, says Irish Dave. Mike Flynn pleaded guilty that one time. No, wait, two times, but... how many times did the Central Park Five plead, axing for a friend, totally barring, full disclosure? That's T-O-A-D-I-L-Y, barring, B-A-R-R-I-N-G. Clever. That's worth a little jingle. Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. One nation under President Dr. Donald Idi Amin Trump. Whew. Yeah. This is a... oh, there's an ad reference from a while back. I refer to the Bill Pepe the Frog Bar, and Randy in PA responds, dig 'em. Remember dig 'em? The frog... the frog avatar for what, Kellogg's Sugar Smacks or something? Yeah, because they had the frog because Post had the honey bear. I'd like to tell you that there's some relief from this madness, but there isn't. The one joker in the deck here is that the plea has already been entered. It's already been entered, and it is already, and jurisdiction has already been established in the United States District Court. And so Bill Barr can say, you know, we're gonna drop this case. But the district judge doesn't necessarily have to go along with it. So maybe that. There's another remedy, of course, and that is to impeach Bill Barr in the House. And that's what Ralph's just suggested. Oh, please, Representatives Nadler and Schiff, impeach Bill Barr. Let's be clear, though. You can impeach Bill Barr, but the outcome will be the same in the rotten-ass, corrupt gerontocracy of the Republican-controlled Senate. Moscow Mitch McConnell probably wouldn't even allow a trial, just like he didn't allow a trial this last time. They held a sham and decided that whatever they decided to let go forward, they'd call it a trial, but they damn sure wouldn't adduce any evidence. The response to the bar to prosecution has been swift and not good. FBI Special Agent Asha Rangappa took to her Twitter account, declaring the AG dropping the case on Flynn turns the entire purpose of the special counsel regs on its head. The Supreme Court is appointed, or the special counsel is appointed precisely to insulate an investigation from influence by a political appointee. The opportunity to object to investigatory and prosecutorial decisions taken by the special counsel was in the hands of Rod Rosenstein, Trump's own appointee. During the course of the investigation, Rosenstein had to approve each major step, and he did. These decisions have already been vetted once by Rosenstein and then again by a separate branch of government, the judiciary. Judge Sullivan had to review the case and accept Flynn's plea. His view was that Flynn, quote, arguably sold out the country. It makes zero sense to appoint a special counsel, have his decisions reviewed and approved by both the DAG and a federal judge, and allow a future AG to come in and simply substitute his judgment, especially an AG who lied about the findings of the investigation from the get-go. Had Rod Rosenstein overruled Mueller's decisions, he would have been required to notify Congress and explain his reasons. Barr needs to answer to the Judiciary Committees for his actions. These decisions are ultimately not really his to make if the special counsel regs mean anything. Well, that'll be fun when the House and Senate Judiciary Committees issue subpoenas to Bill Barr and he says, fuck you! What am I going to do? Prosecute myself? Ha 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 ha! Pound sand! Jerry Nadler, pound sand. Flavio with a question. When they make the movie, can John Goodman play the part of Bill Barr? He's a dead ringer. That's a terrible thing to say about John Goodman, but John Goodman's a brilliant, brilliant actor. Concerning matters of legality, Ron in Raleigh writes, Armand Aubrey is moldering in the grave. However, the three men that murdered him are walking free, having not even been arrested or charged with a crime. I'm sure the people that murdered Mr. Aubrey are guilty of a crime, but shouldn't the law enforcement people also be charged with a civil rights violation or some such shit? I'd like someone to ask old Balls and Strikes John Roberts if he still believes that there's no racism in the U.S. anymore. Another video showed up of L.A. police thugs wailing the bejesus out of some poor black man standing against a fence, offering no resistance whatsoever, no justice, no peace. And there are videos, almost concurrent videos, showing the NYPD brutalizing African-American people out on the streets of New York and not social distancing. Let's be clear about that. But at the same time, they can be found in other, I guess, whiter parks, handing out masks to white folks and gently asking them if they wouldn't mind too much to pretty please engage in social distancing, because you know we got a plague going on here. I've seen the Armand Aubrey video, and it, Jesus, it was a lynching. It was a lynching in 2020, and the district attorney is hiding behind the skirts of a grand jury. So, well, we're just going to have to wait and see what the grand jury does. And the grand jury will do as it's damn well told, just like the grand jury did in Ferguson, Missouri. It just, I know it's not pleasant to contemplate, but we can't, you know, reality spoken here, we can't hide from it. What we're talking about in all of these instances is the beginning of the end, the beginnings of the collapse of this country as we know it. And Irish Dave with the $64 million question. So will Judge Sullivan go along with the total exoneration of Flynn? That's T-O-A-D-A-L. That's another jingle. I hope he doesn't. I hope he calls Bill Barr himself. Said, you know, bring your amphibian ass right here in front of me, because I want you to look me in the eye, and I'm going to put you under oath, motherfucker. Because at some point, if we're going to get any of this back, we have to start talking like that. We have to get through to them. Asha Rangappa is right, though. It's a complete miscarriage of anything resembling justice. But so too, as Ron points out, is Armand Aubrey's murder by an ex-cop. Offering, you know, a transparently thin bullshit reason. And once you've seen the video, it becomes abundantly clear how much bullshit it is. Impeach Barr, says Lee in New York. Moscow Mitch would use this as a justification to accelerate judge confirmations if he could go faster. Steve in New York says, I think we're at the taking to the streets point, except, well, you know, COVID. Well, there's that, and if the plague was not upon us, there would be no taking to the streets. Because folks have to be back at work on Monday. This is sustained protest. It's entirely possible that the only real hope is that now that these assholes are hell bent on reopening the country, that people will say, "Nope, sorry, staying home, fuck off." a sort of general sit-down strike. Note coming in from Iowa Dan, a recently new member of the community. Dan says, it's interesting that Trump had a sudden urge to care about vaccines. Not saying, just say it. Love the program. Thank you, Dan. that's a hell of a note. From the University of Minnesota, Trump signs executive order to improve flu vaccines. The date of that was September 20th, 2019. In the executive order, President Trump emphasized that each year flu vaccines prevent millions of illnesses and thousands of deaths. It also acknowledges that a deadly flu pandemic could inflict trillions of dollars of damage on the economy. Add that to the timeline. You know, November 16th, November 17th, when the Defense Intelligence Agency's medical unit briefs the White House and the Pentagon, who say nothing to Congress. The mysterious November 19th trip to Walter Reed Army Medical Center. January 6th, the odd bandage on the back of Trump's hand that would be exactly where you would put in some sort of IV line. Now add September 19th, an executive order. Thank you, Dan. Purportedly to make us better at dealing with flu vaccines. Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. Sorry, not sorry, says Flavio. The Democrats can be outraged all they want. Talk is cheap. Well, maybe it comes with walking the walk. Get a watch here over the next couple of news cycles and see if anybody says the I word. You know, besides us who are out in front of the curve. Jeremy in Vermont says, sit down strike. The problem is, many states have moved aggressively to say if your employer opens back up and you choose not to return to work, you're considered fired, and therefore your unemployment will end, forcing many to wait, no pay, way, no pay, or COVID. Yeah, these maggot governors and their god emperor are rapidly becoming a death cult. God, it's enough to make you think that somebody's sitting around the White House, maybe Stephen Miller, going, Kalima! Kalima! Anan Shava. Sorry. Early movie. Well, Indiana Jones movie reference. But probably the biggest news today was that one of Clorox Claudius's valets, it's another way of saying body servant, personal assistant, was tested for the Rona this week after displaying symptoms while on the grounds at the White House. He's positive. Now, he's a personal assistant to Donald Trump, and yet Corona Caligula says, I hardly know the guy, probably don't, I'm sure he's a nice guy, never seen him, never heard of him, I'm nowhere near him. Neither's Mike Pence. And we found out that that everybody is tested, and including, they say, Nitwit Nero, are tested daily with those 15-minute result kits. The kits that the White House can have, but the rest of us somehow can't. And I guess they're trying to do some contact tracing, but how much can you believe? How much do you believe? Why is the man not worried? Why isn't Donald J. Trump in a 14-day quarantine? Because that news, that little news item opened up another possibility relative to the 25th Amendment. Arguably, he couldn't president while quarantining. And Mike Pence could, well, but Mike Pence has been in contact, so Mike Pence would have to quarantine. This could get really interesting if anyone actually took the 25th Amendment as seriously as, say, Republicans take the Second Amendment. I didn't know that, but it makes sense because that's also the English medical term. Irish Dave says, do you know the Spanish term for miscarriage is aborto espontaneo? That's also the English term is spontaneous abortion. Irish Dave asking, since it's more third world around here every day, would calling it an aborto of justice trigger the Trumpkins, the maggots? Probably so. They'd probably be hooting and flinging poo and doing all those things maggots do. Yeah, they are. Randy in PA says, but Bob, aren't wildcat strikes illegal according to Taft-Hartley? We wouldn't want to gasp, break the law using civil disobedience, would we? Well, you got to wonder. Look at these AstroTurf assholes. They're engaging in civil disobedience, and there are absolutely no consequences whatsoever. Ha ha. You just call for a nationwide general strike and watch the shit hit the fan. Because, well, all civil disobedience is equal. It's just that some civil disobedience is more equal than other civil disobedience. Checking in on maggots behaving badly. God, the news out of Michigan's getting to be like the news out of Texas or Alabama or Florida. Royal Oak, Michigan. A city commissioner there by the name of Kim Gibbs. She has issued an apology because she got popped by the Royal Oak Police Department at a Meijer store. Is that how you pronounce it? M-E-I-J-E-R? We don't have those here. But she got popped at Meijer for shoplifting. Police Chief of Royal Oak, Corrigan O'Donohue, said she was ticketed at the scene for a misdemeanor violation of retail fraud and released. She apparently ran a grocery cart with $130 worth of stuff through the self-checkout lane, but only paid about $45 for about $45 worth of the items and not the others. Wait a minute. Hold on here. Let's think about this for a second. the self-checkout lane. Maybe if the owners of that corporation wanted to make sure that every item got checked out, maybe they should take out their stupid self-checkouts. I know, this is not a good argument to make during the Rona, but I think it's a valid argument overall. Because with the self-checkout, they're begging for people to rip them off, and for people who aren't even ripping them off, just people who don't spend every day checking out groceries and are ordinary human beings and therefore are prone to error, there's got to be some accidental loss in all of that. But somehow or another, going through with $130 worth of stuff and only paying $45 for it, yeah, I'd guess that Commissioner Gibbs may have some exposure. That's why she issued the apology.
I would like to apologize to my family, friends, and especially my constituents for my substantial lapse in judgment on Wednesday, May 6th. A combination of many external factors led to me taking items from the mayor's store without paying for all of them. The economic impact of the COVID-19 statewide lockdown has taken a serious toll on me personally. No shit, she blamed the plague for making her shoplift.
Yeah, which probably means it's Gretchen Whitmer's fault. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Michiganders and people around the country are suffering with the economic and personal pain COVID has brought to every one of us. We need now more than ever to stand together as Americans and get back working so others do not face the same health consequences I am facing.
Son of a gun. How about that? We now know that in Russia, the Rona makes doctors fall out of windows, and it makes county commissioners in Michigan commit shoplifting. Oh, and in case you're wondering, yes, this maggot is a maggot. It was April 15th when she attended a fee-dum rally against Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home order. She was censured by the Royal Oak City Council, and they asked for her resignation. Of course, she's special, so no, she didn't... She didn't do it. No, she's not going to resign. Interviewed by the newspaper there, she said,
"In my eyes, the scare on the coronavirus is over. I'm not a doctor, but my personal belief is that the people who got it or are going to get it have already gotten it. So let's get back to work."
How about that? No surprise, right? No surprise at all. Kim Gibbs. It'd be interesting to know what it was that she boosted. Can you take a minute and imagine what this story would be like if only the complexions were different? Yeah, it's Meyer. Thank you, Scott in San Diego. Meyer, as in Oscar. Royal Oak, Michigan, isn't that where the crazy right-wing Catholic priest who was heard on radio broadcast from, Father Charles Coughlin, I think? I don't know. The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will have to get right on that, Scott. Royal Oak, Michigan is where Flavio's brother lives, suburb of Detroit. Flavio says, wow. Albert says, the GOP will never take the 25th Amendment seriously as long as Nancy Pelosi is the U.S. House Speaker. Quite possibly, but ugh. Kyle says they won't quarantine Nitwit Nero because Orange Asshole is the puppet of Moscow Mitch McTurtle in a way that Mike Pence wouldn't be. And plus, if they have Pence as president, the asshole base isn't as excited to vote for him. Thanks for all the pronouncers, including the News Ninja Gene. Thank you. Oh, well, now there's a piece of information we I didn't. A week or two ago, I was talking about the fact that even with something as deadly as HIV, we knew that there was a way to have safer sex, you know, condoms. Well, thanks to Sparky, I'm looking at a link now from the New York Times headline, and I don't necessarily know that I want to go any further into it than this. Coronavirus may lurk in semen, researchers report. It was not clear whether the scientists had found infectious virus or inert fragments. Now, hold on just a minute. I mean, and there, I mean, we are, there's research being done. Viral RNA, at the very least, has been found in fecal material. Oh, I just got in under the wire for ruining dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. I guess the good news is that the New York Times says sexual transmission of the virus still seems very unlikely. That's kind of not the point. It's the fact that while with HIV you can condom up and use two or three or, you know, a dozen, whatever makes you feel better, or feel nothing at all, as the case may be, you've got that going for you. But when you're a grunting and a huffing and a puffing and a rutting away on Mayeller, or maybe you're being rutted and grunted upon. Yeah, you thought you were going to get away with dinner in the Eastern Time Zone, didn't you? The fact of the matter is, you're spewing particles for all you're worth, and does that mean the only viable position is reverse cowgirl? I mean, I don't know. The things this plague makes us contemplate. Researchers in China have found that the coronavirus, or bits of it, may linger in semen. That's why the New York Times is the New York Times. Because instead of having a reporter who would write, researchers in China have found the virus or parts of it in semen. No. If you're the New York Times reporter, the semen bits were lingering. What's next? Loitering? Doctors in Shanghui Municipal Hospital in Hainan Province in central China tested semen from 38 patients. The patients ranged from age 15 to 59. And had all previously tested positive for the Rona. And around 16% of the test subjects had genetic material from the coronavirus in their semen. Four of the patients who had positive semen samples were described as being at the acute stage of infection. According to Dr. Wei Guo Zhao, of the 8th Medical Center of Chinese People's Liberation Army General Hospital. Don't you know that's one hell of, that's got to be just one hell of a soap opera. And now, on 8th Medical Center of Chinese People's Liberation Army General Hospital. Oh, come on, we got to find something. We got to find our giggles where they exist. I sent a video to Lady B earlier today, a big Steely Dan fan, Lady B is, as am I. I found a video of two young dudes who were about, and apparently their shtick is that they listen to music for the first time that they've never heard before. And you know, there's a couple of guys, 20, 21, maybe two, 20, 20, 23. And they were hearing Steely Dan for the first time. They were about to listen, and that's all the video was them listening to Steely Dan's Peg, and occasionally leaning in toward the microphone to say, "What?" Yeah, it was humorously charming. Two of the test subjects were recovering. And they found that noteworthy that a person recovering from the Rona would still have viral particles in their semen. Oh, back to Royal Oak, Michigan for a minute. Because just a little bit of denouement for... What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Re-lingers in semen. Damn, that's bad news for Senator Graham. Ow! Is that the channel with the two young hip-hop artists? I don't know if they're hip-hop artists. They look... And the best part of it was, like I said, referring to several references to Steely Dan is, yeah, I first heard of him a few years ago, but I never listened to that. Him. Steely Dan. Him. The name, of course, Steely Dan, comes from William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch, and was, in fact, in that wild masterpiece, a huge stainless steel dildo. No, back to Royal Oak, Michigan. Man, there's a grift. There's always a grift with these maggots. Kim Gibbs is getting free lawyering, at least in regard to having been censured by her city council. She's getting free lawyering from the Thomas More Law Center, which is a right-wing lawyer, non-profit, tax-free grift. And they've sent a nasty gram, these shit eaters, at the Thomas More Law Center. They've sent a threatening letter to the Royal Oak City Council because they censured her for her participation in an illegal protest activity. Because it was violative of the stay-at-home shutdown order. It's called Operation Gridlock. Huh. Wonder how it is the Thomas More Law Center would just kind of be sitting there waiting to offer free lawyering for anybody what needed it. Wonder if maybe they were had a heads up from the AstroTurf billionaires who are funding these toxic, stupid exercises in homicidal madness. Just wonder. And that's something I still haven't sorted out. What, and don't be too, don't tell us how quick to answer, Bob. Okay, got that. Don't be too quick to answer. Ponder this. What do the billionaires whose foundations are fronting this ignorance, these bullshit AstroTurf protests, what do they get out of it? Killing more Americans isn't going to make them wealthier, I don't think.
No, I don't.
I don't see how it does. The only thing I can come up with is that they actively want to shatter the remnants of our civil society and excise from it whatever little bit of civility we had. Beyond that, I got nothing. You? Anything? Because I'm kind of flummoxed. I don't know. Scott in San Diego. Lingering bits of virus, or as Robert Mitchum once said to Dick Cavett, busted for mopery with intent to gawk. Robert in Australia with a note. Back to work on Monday in the USA? Good luck. Those who work in a high-rise building that has air conditioning. To save money, air in high-rise buildings is recycled. Cold air in summer and warm air in winter, as much as up to 70% for the whole workday. And generally, this recycling takes place between several floors. Someone coughs on the 20th floor, and little particles or spit get sucked up into the air intake. And everyone three floors below and three floors above may be exposed. It's a great way to spread disease. It's just like being on a plane full of coughing people for several hours. By the time you get off the plane, everyone's been exposed. And don't use the lifts, elevators, to Americans. Cram 14 people into one of those for a five-minute ride to the 20th floor and have someone cough, and everyone who uses that lift until it's been disinfected runs the risk of being infected. So if you work in a high-rise building that doesn't have windows that you can open, wear a spacesuit and take the stairs. No, but there'll be some right-wing mag. Oh, look at the candy-ass sissy who has to wear a spacesuit because they're afraid of the Rona. And some billionaire will, of course, front a group that says, well, there's no proof that spacesuits protect you against the Rona. Just get out here and LARP around and smollock and rub and tussle and carry on with the rest of us, or what? Are you too good for that? Jesus. As to self-checkouts, Don in West Tennessee says, the mayor's wife in Jackson, Tennessee, a town I know well, was busted for the same thing at Wally World. About $175 in merchandise, rang up about $85 on the checkout. Slap on the wrist, good lawyer, and some probation. I don't get it. But then again, maybe I'm not supposed to. Lou asks, it doesn't seem to fit into the theme of today's show. Hell, Lou, I didn't know we had one of those. But is one $1,200 stimulus payment enough to help people cover expenses? I suppose the more generous unemployment benefits, though I think only July, must help. But what happens in August? No, it's not enough. Americans, well, you know, not maggots, of course. I'm talking about the ones that think. Americans deserve something far more similar to what Farcanoodlia is doing. $2,000 a month until the damn thing's over. Makes a hell of a lot more sense. And what are people going to do? Well, this the whole reason that there's only one, and the Republicans acceded to it grudgingly at best, it was to, you know, it provide a pittance until such time as we could prematurely reopen the country. Hell, $1,200 isn't enough to meet rent for a whole lot of people in this country. Let alone groceries. That's why the food banks are so stretched thin. Flavio, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, says, Father Coughlin broadcast out of WJR in Detroit, but he was born, as Brother Deacon Asa also pointed out, in Hamilton, Ontario. Does corporate America want to kill Americans? The billionaires? Lee in New York says that's not the intention. Destroy employee rights, defund employment insurance, unemployment insurance, break unions, end health care from companies, decimate continued employment if you get sick. Work, 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 and be glad you're not unemployed. The survivors have to buy their stuff somewhere. Profits must be maximized. David in South Carolina, Stan points out, and in the USA, the $1,200 never arrives. The IRS website doesn't work, and nobody answers the phone. Randy in PA, on the other hand, says the billionaires make money on the way up, and they make money on the way down. If there isn't an uprising, which there won't be, the income inequality will grow massively larger. By the way, says Ron in Raleigh, I forgot to mention that neither Corona Comeover nor Brian Kemp has said a mumbling word about Mr. Aubrey's murder. Doesn't matter, I guess. P.S. Stop telling us where the coronavirus lurks, Bob. As to COVID lurking, Jeremy in Vermont notes, we already knew COVID particles were still lurking. I mean, just look at our U.S. Navy and all the cases in there, you know. Semen. It was too much to expect that somebody wouldn't make a pun out of that. David in South Carolina, Stan, adding, the virus is lethal voter suppression. It kills certain voters. And it just so happens that the voters that it kills are, in large part, the voters that the maggots wish would stop voting. What was in the what was in Kim Gibbs's grocery cart? Scott answers, bags and bags and bags and bags of Cheetos. They eat them in the vain hope of looking more like their Trump deity. Vol must be fed. Oh, thanks to Jimmy for getting us started. We're now off of the original fundraising goal, so now we're down to 464. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you very much. Jimmy said he was having some PayPal problems. Oh, and a note from our buddy Tosh, going back to what Governor Cuomo was talking about, at-home morbidity. Tosh says, my eldest, who spent some time in business medical data analytics activities, that one observation from China has been that sequestered people in vertical columns have gotten the virus. Knowing a little bit about plumbing suggests that this meant that plumbing may be an avenue for transmission. Almost always, to save effort and money, bathrooms are placed in vertical columns, all serviced by common drains and supply lines. However, having spent some time driving in the greater New York City area, I'm not sure this observation has a high correlation to what Governor Cuomo mentioned. That's interesting, given that the Spanish flu led to innovations in plumbing. Moving it indoors and sealing it. Interesting, Tosh. Thanks for that. David in South Carolina, Stan, is in a little ray of fucking sunshine kind of mood this evening. Subject line, jail. I expect Bill Barr to have Hillary or Obama arrested and charged with crimes any day now. And if he charges Obama with a crime, then he will implicate Biden. God, I hope not. But who would be surprised? Oh, by the way, Lady B got a kick out of the Steely Dan video with the two young dudes. I got a response. It was all caps. Dude! I can't. Steely Dan, it's like getting sex in a Hermes Birkin bag. Or maybe the sex part, because most brothers can't afford to buy me a Birkin. What a wonderful thing. I'm talking about the video. I can't. I'm like a two-year-old. Me no good words, man. No words. The feelings, Bob. Fucking Steely Dan. Wow. Thanks. Yeah, I just sat there and watched it in slack jawed giggling. But it hit Lady B pretty hard. Bob, oh my God, wow, dude, I'm not picking on those little darlings. We all start from zero. What I enjoyed so much about it was how delighted they were to hear what real fucking music sounds like. Maybe all that was real, not done on a computer. It's tight and precise, the harmonies, especially Michael McDonald and Patty Austin doing backup vocals. Dude, I'm so excited, I can't even. Dude, Bob! What a perfect fucking song to introduce someone to Steely Dan. Oh my God, I was living every second with him. I was all like, yeah, do you hear that too? Listen to the chord changes in the bridge. Listen to the harmonies in the chorus. Listen to the hi-hat. Listen to the bass line. That song is a banger. I can't anymore. My fucking work is done here. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Out of body, baby. I love you, Bob. Thank you for letting me experience what those kids were experiencing all over again. God damn it, I love music so much. I love being a disc jockey. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Signed, Lady Babylon's sister with her fez on, B. I'm trying to figure out, just so you can experience it as well. I got to find it. Okay, if you go to YouTube and it's charming and funny and Steely Dan hymn, you know. The title of the video is Peg Steely Dan College Student's First Time Reaction. The people in the video are Andy and Alex. And just to share it, because we're in the middle of a plague and we need our little pleasures wherever we can find them.
What time it is? Patreon, month 9.
Our first live month.
Dude, we've got some bangers. We've got Stairway to Heaven Live by Led Zeppelin.
Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
And then we've got...
And when they say they've got it, they mean they're going to turn the cameras on themselves and listen to the music and let us watch them experience the music.
Live, Jimi Hendrix, Foxy Lady.
Yes, and all that's for the $1, which is the price of two regulation Slim Jims.
And the link is down in the description, so we'll see you on Patreon, and we'll catch you in this video.
Hey guys, hope you're having a great day. This was a great life.
Dude, back with a new band on this Wednesday.
Which band, bro?
Steely Dan?
Yeah, I know. And by the way, this was uploaded on February the 5th, so... just before the shit officially hit the fan here.
Steal it in.
This is some exciting stuff. I've seen him in comments through our time.
Yeah. Now.
Seen him in comments.
Now, I've heard about him from multiple people.
Him.
My producer, for one. I had a couple friends' parents who were like, oh, have you done Steely Dan on the channel? And I was like.
Who's going to tell him?
Like, nope. So that being said,
it's time, dude.
That being said, Steely Dan has been on the list for quite a minute, and so we saw a bunch of comments, and now it's like, let's actually do it.
Yeah.
So the song is Peg. So we have no idea what to expect. We're going in this really blind. Like, usually even with newer bands, when we start them up, somebody...
Yeah, now, hold on, because this is another precious moment. They're going to tell you what they think Steely Dan sounds like before they've ever heard Steely Dan. I'm not gooning on these guys. Like Lady B, I think it's just kind of charming. And they're old enough to drink, so they've got them a little decanter bottle with what looks like brown liquor in it. Maybe it's apple juice. I don't know. Maybe they aren't old enough to drink. But, you know, they're gonna appreciate some Steely Dan. They just don't know what it is.
Says, here's what they sound like.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Maybe like folk Americana. I'm not sure. Rock.
That's a Steely Dan. That's what I would think.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Folk Americana.
I guess we'll see. That being said, make sure you hit the subscribe, notification bell.
Hey.
Yeah. My favorite part, and I'm not going to go all the way into it, is when he hears the guitar solo and he says, what? That made my afternoon. I don't know. Irish Dave says, so you can really get the Rona from the toilet seats? I think I got it from a toilet seat. Need I say more, says Irish Dave. With the core band recruited, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, needed a name for their group. Since both of them were avid readers of 1950s beat literature, they decided to name the band Steely Dan after a dildo in William Burroughs' Naked Lunch. And now you know the rest of the story. Oy. Brother Deacon Asa is going to post this somewhere, maybe on the website, or I don't know. I don't know where he's going to post it. But he's going to post it. And away it goes. Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Led Zeppelin. I heard he was good. And was it, I think it was, I can't remember, it was yesterday or today was the anniversary of the Hindenburg, by the way, the Hindenburg disaster. As to that $1,200 that Lou was asking about, Lady B says $1,200 a month isn't enough to pay the rent. Actually, that's quite true. At $1,300 in Colorado, at least, you make too much money to qualify for Medicaid. So surely $1,200 must be the wealth of a rich man. All right. We have an anonymous challenge on the table for the remainder of the program and up into tomorrow morning. It expires tomorrow morning. It would be great if we could take care of this evening. But we have an anonymous challenge. When billionaires choose, you lose. Have a show on me. $200 challenge. And if that happened, then we'd be caught all the way up for this far into the week. And we wouldn't have to have a community-made miracle tomorrow. So there's $200 of doubling money out there, kindly offered as an inducement, nay, an encouragement for folks to kick in and get their money doubled. It don't happen unless folks respond to it. But if you'd like to keep the community going, and if you especially like having, say, your $10 turned into 20, well, this is that moment. And thanks very kindly to our anonymous benefactor for making the challenge. Thank you. The When Billionaires Choose, You Lose, Have a Show on Me $200 challenge. Steve in New York says, you really want to know how bad the Trumpansies are? My mom told me that he was getting rid of corruption. I don't know which emotion that makes me feel. Well, there's several possibilities there. Yeah, that's another one. David in South Carolina, Stan, says, I remember when people called Lynyrd Skynyrd him. Ah, it was yesterday. Thank you to Lee, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. The Hindenburg disaster occurred on May 6, 1937, in Manchester Township, New Jersey, United States. The German passenger airship LZ-129 Hindenburg caught fire and was destroyed during its attempt to dock with its mooring mast at Naval Air Station Lakehurst. Because it's lighter than air gas that caused it to have lift was hydrogen. Not a great idea. But the Germans couldn't get hold of any helium. Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa, who has a sort of masochistic enjoyment of the comments section, said, you have to go way down the comments section on that video before anyone corrects them. Yes, Sparky, yes. Lib Talker does Paul Harvey. Oh, yeah. And for the challenge, I'm informed, this is a true challenge. I will match anything that comes in up to $200. And we're off and running. Thank you. Scott in Wisconsin has matched half of the challenge. So there's $100 left in that challenge. Thank you, Scott. And hopefully we'll get to that. We'll get it all knocked out before the program's over. Thank you so much, Scott. A note coming from Dave from the blind. These right-wing asshats believe that the Lord J. Jesus will protect them because their Donald is the chosen one. Bad news from here in the blind, Bob. I got it. COVID-19 test yesterday, and I'm positive. I have it. I've been ordered to isolate for the next 10 days, which is damn near impossible because the blind is actually sleeping early, and we share bathrooms, so I was told by the desk clerk to pee in a jug. By the way, it only took them 2 hours to turn the test around. Your buddy Dave in the blind. Dave, please be safe. Please be healthy. Do everything you can to get past this damn thing. Because you are a vital and important part of this community. And you are loved and appreciated. Don't be afraid to get treatment. Don't be, please. Beat it, and then come back and report on it. And we'll be here all along, and you be here with us. Oh, that would just be cruel. Ron in Raleigh says, maybe their next video should be Steel Eye Span. That should cause some confusion. Oh, yeah, that a lot of confusion. Him. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene has taken care of half of the second half of the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose, Have a Show on Me challenge, kindly provided by our anonymous benefactor. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. $50 to go on it. That's tremendous. So here we are at the halfway point of the program. It is a Thursday, and that means that we've got the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And thank you to Stephen. Thank you very kindly. That means that we're down to only $30 to go on the challenge. Thanks tremendously. And there it is, courtesy of David in South Carolina, Stan, that lovely photo around a dinner table of Michael Flynn, big bad Vladdy Daddy, and the one and only Jill fucking Stein. And by the way, before we go to the Green News Report, a little bit of science-y information from our buddy Tosh, who is, in fact, you know, a scientist. Tosh weighing in on the issue of masks. I read somewhere that N95 masks do reduce the wearer's chances of infection down to the 5% range or less. I'm not sure that I heard that correctly or whether that applied to industrial N95s like I have. I didn't use it when biking because it keeps enough CO2 close to my mouth nose that I end up panting, but I leave as much space as possible around walkers, runners, since I can manage off the trail. From what you were saying, at 61, with a stent on my left descending vein, I'm in the higher risk group. I was asymptomatic of any cardiac issues before my angioplasty and now get pretty serious cardio every day. The procedure discovered that I have extra blood vessels around my heart, collaterals. I ended up on the table because my resting pulse dropped to 38 about 18 months ago. Now it's still typically under 45, but that seems to be where I stand. Some of this had happened naturally as I lost weight. I've gained some weight from my low point, but at maximum I was down 106 pounds or so from when we met in D.C., I'm currently at 91 pounds down, but some of this may be due to adding muscle, mostly in my legs, as my waist has stayed at 38 inches, same as when I was in college. And that is 10 to 12 inches smaller than when we met. Take care of yourself, Tosh. Keep at it. And congratulations. I'm thinking maybe I'm currently at 191 pounds. Maybe there's a digit missing. Let me know if I'm getting it wrong. And thanks to Jack in Shreveport, the challenge is met. Jack finished it all off. So thank you very kindly, Scott and Charlene, Stephen and Jack. Thank you very kindly. And thanks to Jimmy for getting us started earlier this evening. That is tremendous. That happened like boom, bang, done. And so, like I said, at the halfway point of the program, let's pop in and see what kind of merriment Brad and Desi have for us. Shall we? Do let's.
It's Thursday, May 7, 2020.
Even if we completely stop emitting greenhouse gases today, we will continue to feel the effects of a warmer world.
Man-made global warming will render some regions unlivable within 50 years, new study warns. Siberian forest burning at rates not seen in 10,000 years.
Who saw it 10,000 years ago?
Plus,
it looks like something out of a horror film with a name to match.
Murder hornets. Yes, murder hornets. Giant invasive bee-killing hornets confirmed in the United States.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
These hornets grow up to 2 inches long, roughly five times the size of a bee.
The mandibles, they're very, very sharp. I mean, that's what they use to decapitate bees, and then they'll mash up the thorax into a meatball, they call it, and fly it back to feed to their larvae.
What? The actual
and there went dinner in the Central Time Zone.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen. I think at this point, Mother Nature is just trying to tell us to get the hell out of here or something. I mean, this is insane. Murder hornets? Really?
Yes, a global pandemic, a plague of locusts. If you didn't have murder hornets on your apocalypse bingo card, you can be excused.
I guess.
It's a giant invasive species of hornet from Asia, nicknamed murder hornets. It has somehow arrived in the United States.
Great.
With 4 confirmed sightings in Washington State.
These hornets grow up to 2 inches long, roughly 5 times the size of a bee. And in Japan, where they originate, they reportedly kill up to 50 people each year. Their giant stingers capable of piercing a beekeeper's suit.
While its sting is dangerous for beekeepers, it is a much bigger threat to honeybees that are crucial to the U.S. food supply. Just a few hornets can slaughter an entire honeybee hive in just hours. Populations of U.S. honeybees have already declined by more than 40% over recent years due to colony collapse disorder, which is linked to pesticides. Bee experts say it is imperative to eradicate this invasive hornet before it spreads to the rest of the continent, because honeybees pollinate more than 90 vital food crops.
I swear to God, if the murder hornets are responsible for my tomatoes not fruiting so far this year, I'm going to murder those hornets.
Okay. Some big climate news. The European Union's climate monitoring service Copernicus announced that April 2020 is tied with 2016 for the hottest April ever recorded globally since record keeping began in the 1880s. NASA and NOAA are likely to announce similar conclusions in coming weeks. The new record hot April means 2020 is almost guaranteed to be one of the top two hottest years ever recorded.
Yeah, whatever. We've got murder hornets now.
That heat, however, has consequences in Siberia. The boreal forest is already burning at a rate not seen in 10,000 years, with more than 5 million acres ablaze, and it's not even summer yet. The fires are releasing even more climate-warming CO2, in turn triggering more heat and triggering more fires. In the Amazon rainforest, experts warned this week that because of drought and a 50% increase in logging over last year, the Amazon is on course for a severe fire season. And carbon dioxide levels measured at the Mauna Loa Observatory in Hawaii hit 418 parts per million in the atmosphere this month. That's the highest level in at least 3 million years.
I'm sorry, I'm still on the murder hornets. Continue.
A disturbing new study warns that because of man-made global warming, many densely populated parts of the world could be too hot for humans within the next 50 years. The researchers warn that unless governments act to transition away from fossil fuels, the world's habitable climate zone, in which humanity has thrived for 6,000 years, will shift so much by 2070 that 3 billion people will either have to move to cooler regions or adapt to extreme heat conditions. That shift will also bring water shortages, crop failures, and extreme heat waves that could trigger mass migrations. The biggest projected population growth is expected to be in regions that will see the greatest increase in dangerous heat.
Uncle.
Finally, some good news. Big Oil's net zero club is getting bigger, at least in Europe. On Tuesday, the French multinational oil and gas giant Total said it is joining European oil companies Shell and BP in setting an ambitious target to reach net zero emissions by 2050. Now, critics note that all of these European oil majors' plans are vague, but the targets do signal a big shift in strategy for billions of dollars in capital investments, and would have been unheard of just a few years ago.
What kind of world is it when we have to turn to the oil companies for our good news? For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, believe it or not, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com if you dare. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Of course. Yeah. right. Oh, and here's an update on murder hornets. Japanese honeybees actually kill murder hornets. And maybe our honeybees need to learn how to. They've been found, by the way, sorry, Brother Deacon, they've been found in British Columbia as well. But they let the murder hornet into the hive, and then the entire hive jumps on it and slaughters it. The person writing the article at Newsweek said, the way Japanese bees deal with murder hornets is just brutal but satisfying. You know, I'm so old, I remember when all we had to worry about was gigantic swarms of African killer bees that were going to come up from South Carolina, South America, and sting us all to hell. Keep fucking with the planet, humans. One of these days, the dinosaurs are coming back, and they're going to be pissed. Okay, let's run over and check in for a minute with Scott. Yo, Scott.
Yo, Bob. Well, that settles it. You got your murder hornets. You got your Japanese, what are they called?
Japanese honeybees.
Japanese honeybees. And for a long while, we've had the Africanized bees who were imported to South America also, I think. And they headed north. So it's official, Bob. I'm staying in. There ain't no way. I'll just have Ralph's deliver me whatever I need. And if they don't have it, and if Amazon doesn't have it, then I guess I didn't need it to start with. Jesus.
I love the way this is described. Japanese honeybees have evolved an ambush defense against these hornets. When a hornet scout finds a honeybee hive, the honeybees lure her in.
Sure, come on
in.
Yeah,
come on. Yeah. No, over here. Yeah, we've got it. We've got a lovely welcoming gift basket for you. Oh, look. Would you like some pumpkin spice honey? And then collectively pounce on the hornet, beating their wings as much as they can. This flurry attack raises the temperature around the hornet, eventually killing her and a few of the honeybees closest to her. The hive will remain undiscovered to the hornet colony and live to see another day. How about that? God, what's not to love about honeybees?
Well, ain't nature grand? Come on.
Oh, I just love honeybees. I do.
I'll tell you, for years and years and years, up until early adulthood, I had a dread fear of anything that could fly and sting me. And I don't know how I got over it, but I noticed one time, several years ago, 8, 10, 12 years ago, this is where the place I used to live. I walked out front, and there was a bee or a wasp or something. And I just kind of gave it all the space it needed, but yet I didn't give up my turf and walked down the sidewalk, unlocked the door into the house, and nobody was, you know, suffered from the exercise. I don't know. I just, for a long time, I didn't, you know, the other day when you mentioned the potential of this virus decimating the population in a big, big way. You know, planned population control or whatever it was. I didn't immediately buy into it, but now that I've heard about the lingering bits in blood, urine, feces, and now semen, it's very possible that Mother Earth is just trying to give us a timeout to end all timeouts.
Corona.
Yeah.
Corona.
I don't know. What was it? Oh, yes. The Royal Oak, Michigan connection to Father Coughlin.
Yes.
He had a little church called the Shrine of the Little Flower or something in Royal Oak, Michigan, which was like a suburb of Detroit.
The Shrine of the Little Racist?
Well, I'm getting to that. His church was in Royal Oak, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, and it was mostly Protestant, but he and about two dozen other staunch Catholics set up this little parish right in the middle of Protestant town, Royal Oak, and he got time on CBS Network and would rant and rave and say supportive things of the Klan back in the 1930s. Until William Paley had quite enough of it, thank you very much, and pulled the plug on him. So that's the Royal Oak connection to Father Coughlin, whatever his name was. Nasty fellow.
I the only thing I think about Royal Oak is that's a brand of charcoal that I use when I can't get the stuff I like.
Yes, it is. I knew the name from somewhere else, but I wasn't sure where. And you're right, there is a charcoal. But What was there was another thing you were talking about. What I made a little note here, and now I can't find the note. There's a note about the TV viewing tip that I gave the other day without having seen the program, and you had commented about it on Facebook the other day on Netflix, this 7-part series, Hollywood. I finished it last night. Oh, Bob, what a show that is. What a show.
Is it going to make me go? Now, hold on. I've got a new test for all of your TV viewing tips, Scott. Don't recommend anything that's going to send me to sleep in a nihilistic funk.
No, it won't. This one won't, I promise you. The neat thing about this one, especially if you know your Hollywood history and your showbiz history of that era, the post-World War II, the golden era of Hollywood in the late 1940s and into the 50s, you know, Marlon Brando, Rock Hudson, that crew.
Yeah.
If you know that era, you'll love this, but it'll frustrate the hell out of you because some of what's depicted in Hollywood on Netflix is based on characters and incidents that we all know, but they don't, in the show, they don't play out quite the way they did in real life. It's almost like a parallel universe where things do work out in a positive way in many different areas of culture and American life. And that's all I'll say about it. But I finished it last night. It's quite good. Mostly because I love that era anyway. The Hollywood at one time was a magic place. I mean, they didn't call it Tinseltown for nothing. And people actually did go there with dreams of greatness and stardom and success. And only 1 in 100, if that, would make it. But you wouldn't know unless you tried, you know? And God, what a show. That I have to think that show is going to win some awards, if we have awards. See, that's the other thing. We don't know what is going to be ahead for us in this age of COVID-19. Nothing is going to be quite as it was ever again, I don't think. So, anyway.
That's where a lot of the thought is going right now, is what is going to be changed and how will it be changed?
I think it's going to be way more widespread and dramatic than any of us can imagine at this point. I know on the one hand you've got Trump up there with his stupid happy talk and accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative, you know, as fast as he could possibly tap dance. But don't buy in. You know, I'm sure there's nobody listening to this show that buys into that crap. But there are people who it may slowly dawn on a number of people who thought that he was all that in a bag of chips a few years ago, and it's going to dawn on them the harsh reality of this compared side by side with his rosy pronouncements, and they're going to say, wait a minute. I mean, people are dumb, but you know, if it's looking them right in the face, and wiping people out right and left, and they can't go to no job because there's no job to go to, people will tend to see reality in a more sharply defined way, I think. Not all of them, but some of them are diehards, and they will die, probably hard, with great difficulty. But, you know, some people might catch on, and therein lies a glimmer of hope.
Well, the valet who tested positive for the Rona that works there, one of Clorox Claudius's valets, is a member of the United States Navy.
Well, and, we already know the military didn't get hard.
If Clorox Claudius gets it, I propose we give him the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Well, I'm right there with you. But I do have a serious question about that. Because you mentioned something a little while ago that I hadn't remembered back in, was it November, when he went to Walter Reed?
No, it was November 19th.
Here's the question I have, now that my memory's been a little bit added to and refreshed. How long was that visit?
It was that afternoon, a couple of hours.
Is that long enough to get a complete blood transfusion? In other words, as fast as they pump the old blood out, they can pump the new blood in? Because we've only got,
I don't think so. I mean, if you compare it to, say, dialysis, no.
No, this isn't. This wouldn't be dialysis. This would be
a transfusion. And
the reason I thought of this, at some point in the 80s, after we got a fix on the AIDS virus, the existence of it, it was after they discovered the virus and began scrambling to find some way to help people who were dying of this dread disease. There was a guy that was on Larry King on CNN, on the nightly CNN show, and I believe he was in England, I think. I may not be 100% sure, but apparently he had all of his blood removed and replaced with fresh, clean, sparklingly wonderful blood. And it was too early to tell whether that would be successful, and I never heard any more about the guy. But I'm wondering, now see, that's back in the 80s, but now we're in the year 2019 when Trump went to Walter Reed. Is it remotely possible that they did a complete blood transfusion and then gave him an injection of the cutting edge secret sauce that helps protect people who are considered to be vital to the national interest? But if he was only there a few hours, maybe there wasn't.
What would that
time.
Secret sauce be? I mean, I've wondered interferon.
Because there's an
interferon that the Cubans developed.
Well, yeah.
That was reported early on as being efficacious in treatment of the Rona.
Isn't that also along the lines of something they developed a few years back that fought and won over various forms of cancer? The Cubans are not a backward nation when it comes to their people in medicine and science. Far from it, as a matter of fact. But, I mean, if they've got stuff that'll kill cancers that's banned in this country for some crazy-ass reason, it wouldn't surprise me if they're on the cutting edge when it comes to this virus.
Well, that interferon is of Cuban origin. Remdesivir.
And what made me think of it was the bandage on the hand.
Right. Because if you're, I think you need a, I don't know. I'll let one of the medical professionals chime in. I think you need a bigger hole than what you get through an IV in the back of the hand. But, if you're talking about something that keeps you from getting the Rona, what you're talking about, Scott, is a vaccine. On the other hand, there are antivirals, and they tend to work after you've been infected. Like, Tamiflu is for after you've got the flu. And what they're reporting about remdesivir by the ironically named Gilead drug company. Hello, Handmaid's Tale.
And thank you, God, it's my name.
Yeah. That is, according to the no actual science behind it, no double blind, nothing study that was run by, curiously, Gilead that caused Anthony Fauci to and of course Clorox Claudius to hustle it out for treatment.
they said that, you know, 30% of patients that didn't have much in the way of symptoms, it worked for. Is that a possibility? Have they been? Have they just been pumping him full of remdesivir the whole time? What little of it there is?
Well, see, this is why I'm wondering about. I brought up the business of
whole... and hold on. You know, America can't get tested.
No, of course not.
On the other hand, however, everybody who is anywhere near Clorox Claudius gets tested once a day, and they see even he gets tested once a day, and it's the awesome, nifty, super-duper 15-minute test.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that we believe, your guess is as good as mine.
Well, the thing is, the thing that made me think of the transfusion from the 1980s, again, you know, in hopes of helping with AIDS patients, the reason that came to mind was what they did find out with that experiment was if it lurks in organs, then you can change your blood once a week with brand new blood, all 8 pints or whatever it is, and it doesn't make any difference because the virus is present in organs, and replacing the blood's not going to do anything. So maybe that didn't even enter into Trump's visit to Walter Reed. But I would be very much surprised if our scientists don't have something, because when they Fort Detrick is an interesting place. I don't know how much you know about it, but that's where the germ warfare studies were taking place.
Yes.
Years and years ago, and also the chemical warfare. You know, they would develop chemical agents to use in a military way. But as I understand it, it's a parallel thing. On the one hand, you've got a group that's working on the weaponized stuff, whether it's viral or chemical. But then you've got another group up there working on possible antidotes, because you want to have something to treat the people on our side who might get infected or affected by it in the heat of war. I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that. So you got to figure it, you know, I know there are schools of thought where it's all planned. See, that's the other thing. I can't imagine the Trump administration planning anything, okay, much less something like that, because they don't plan. It's obvious. They've never planned for anything. They've never planned to take into account what happens when you don't make plans. That's how inept these fuckers are, you know? Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. But it just wouldn't surprise me. And that bandage on the hand, when they take blood for testing, just for diagnostic purposes, they usually do it from a finger or two. Every time I've had blood taken, they or the arm, And they draw out a vial or two of blood, and then they run whatever tests they run. And if it's clean, they let you know. And if there's some problem, they let you know that too. But the hand bandage would indicate that something was injected into him for some purpose. That's all I'm saying. But see, I don't know enough about medicine to know whether I'm on the right track. Paging Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, or Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. Anyway.
Emergency, come right away.
Yes. Somebody told me that on one of the network medical dramas in the 70s, that some smart-ass sound effects guy in the production company at some rather low audio level played that over the hospital PA in one of the medical dramas, serious medical dramas, award-winning, Emmy-winning, the paging Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. And I never heard it, and I can't remember which show it was, but it's probably online. You can probably find it. But I don't know. I'm the murder hornet, the African bees, and the Japanese bees. I'm staying home, Bob. I'm staying home.
Yeah, well, it's like James Millenoy wrote in a little bit ago and said, Japanese honeybees. Let's go ahead and on Amazon and order some. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, you would think that they would be able. I mean, if the Japanese bees have, if nature has given them a trick to deal with a natural enemy, certainly our honeybees. What's the matter with America? Don't we do anything anymore in this country? Our bees are napping on the job. What the hell, Bob? I've had enough.
I know.
It's enough. To make you.
I know the
throw
feeling.
The remote at the TV. That's how bad it's become.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this. You've seen the movie Dune, have you not? The David Lynch.
I'm going to break your heart. I know I haven't.
Oh God.
I know the movie somewhat, but I've never actually sat down and watched it.
Well,
and I can't remember the actor's name, but he died rather young, a rather heavyset Irish named actor was in that, and he was the guy who levitated and flew around the room or something.
That's Baron Harkonnen, yes.
Yeah,
And so I got a note from Jack in Shreveport, based on what you had just said about Trump getting a transfusion, and. Jack said, Trump the transfuser. I'm imagining big fat Trump floating around in the air, looking like that ugly fucker Baron Harkonnen in Dune with the heart plug and the tubes and shit. which would be, yeah, this. Here we go.
Beautiful, my Baron. Your skin, love to me. Your diseases, lovingly cared for all eternity.
I will have a racket bat for myself. He who controls the spice controls the universe. And what Pida did not tell you is we have control of someone who is very close to Duke Leo. This person, this traitor, will be worth more to us than
the best part
legions
is,
of Sardauka.
And who is this?
Baron Vladimir Harkonnen's hair is orange.
I won't tell you who the traitor is or when we'll attack. However, the Duke will die before these eyes, and he'll know that it is I, Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, who encompasses his doom.
And he starts floating around the room.
Yeah, I got.
Jeez.
Nobody
does disgusting like David Lynch.
Well, yeah. I've never watched the movie, but I know that scene, and that actor, I wish I could remember his name, but he was in the movie Ragtime, if you've ever seen that wonderful movie. It was James Cagney's last film appearance, based on the E.L. Doctorow novel of the same name, Ragtime, but he plays a policeman who does a nasty thing to the protagonist early on in the film. I wish I could think of his name. Somebody knows. Irish guy. And died young. He was a character actor who was, he was on stage, but he also was breaking into films and did a couple of really juicy roles in Dune and Ragtime and some other films, and just keeled over with a heart attack or something and was no more. But God, it's hot.
And apparently there's an entire genre of young people watching classic rock acts for the first time. I just stumbled onto one. Classical flautist reacts to Jethro Tull.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I found myself doing it in search of something interesting to watch, to divert my eyes and my attention, and to suck up some time. I've been watching all manner of strange stuff on YouTube. I was watching, well, over the weekend, or maybe it was last weekend, one of the Prime movie channels on my system here was free for the weekend, and I recorded the film Trumbo with Bryan Cranston as Dalton Trumbo, the blacklisted writer of the 50s. And I recorded it, and then I watched it the other night. Great movie. I love Bryan Cranston anyway. I mean, since Breaking Bad, he's a hell of an actor. He's been in some other stuff besides. But Dalton Trumbo obviously was way before my time in terms of his notoriety. I learned about him later. But God, what a fucking hero he was. And didn't commit an offense against this country. Went to prison for the better part of a year for so-called contempt of Congress, which was totally justified, because they hauled him in there and asked him questions that they had no right to ask him about his politics and his thinking. But fuck, that's where we were in the late 40s and early and mid 50s. It was permissible to do that shit. And that's one of the things that people ought to know their history, because you know if this demented twerp gets reelected, that all the stops will all be pulled out. Anybody who knows about pipe organs knows you can make a hellacious sound if you pull out all the stops. That's where that expression comes from.
Yes, it does.
And if he gets, God help us, if he gets reelected, we are all well and truly screwed. Because he will take that to mean that, whether he does it by hook or crook or whatever, he will take that to mean, well, I must be doing a bang-up job. And he's already fucking crazy. So if you take that, quote, vote of confidence and add that to the equation of already crazy,
you get to a pretty scary place pretty quick.
Oh, there's no other conclusion to draw. You know? And then you layer in this fucking pandemic on top of that. All manner of mischief can be played on people given these circumstances that we're in. And it's no fucking movie. It's real. You know? But yeah. I was watching a documentary about Trumbo, and also an interview that he did, a brief interview, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, on CBS in the late 50s, CBS TV. People should watch that film, Trumbo, and watch some of these videos on YouTube, because we're closer than we know, at least in terms of the possibility of some major, major, major shit being pulled on us. You know?
Well, okay, so here's an example of that. Brad Parscale, who is the campaign manager for the plague administration, is proudly declaring that his reelection campaign is the Death Star.
Jesus.
I mean, this is right. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of right up there with you know, playing live and let die. At the Honeywell factory, which, by the way, Axl Rose went on Twitter and said, and he doesn't tweet very often, but he said, by the way, Steve Mnuchin's an asshole. And Steve Mnuchin responded, because, of course, Steve Mnuchin responded by saying, well, what have you done for our country? Motherfucker! And he didn't say it, but, you know, he could have said, are you kidding me? I gave our country Welcome to the Jungle and Sweet Child of Mine. Fuck you, Mnuchin. But he fucked it. But the thing is, Mnuchin, because, you know, they fuck everything up. It's like Kirk taunting, obligatory Star Trek reference. It's like Kirk taunting Khan and saying, you keep trying to kill me, but you keep missing the mark. And in this case, Mnuchin responded by tweet and said, what have you done for America? And then used the Liberian flag emoji. You know, red and white stripes, one star, not 50.
Yeah.
Because he's a fuck-up. They're all fuck-ups. No, Axl Rose got the better of him in a big way. But back to, no, Brad Parscale said, for nearly 3 years, we've been building a juggernaut campaign, the Death Star. It is firing on all cylinders. Data, digital, TV, political, surrogates, coalitions. In a few days, we start pressing fire for the first time. You stupid fucker!
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, but you stupid fucker. There are 70,000 dead people who, if they weren't all busy being dead, could say that you probably started firing a couple of months ago. These assholes.
And then
when he got called out for referring to the campaign as the Death Star, which, of course, let's all remember, the Death Star was not a good thing. Then he said, I didn't give our campaign the name Death Star. The media did. However, I'm happy to use the analogy. The fact is, we haven't used it yet. Laugh all you want. We will take the win. This, of course, was a lie, because the Death Star name was created by a Republican strategist.
Is he any relation, and I haven't watched it in a while, but there used to be a woman, a blonde-haired woman, who was on the show The 700 Club with Pat Robertson, Janet.
Damn it, Janet.
Say his last name again.
Parscale.
That name?
P-A-R-S-C-A-L-E.
Well, maybe it isn't her. But she seems like the type who would be married to a twerp like that, if it's not her or a producer. If it's not her, she seems like she'd be perfect for him. They're made for each other. Jeez.
Well, and there's another part to this Death Star thing, and that is that it had a hopelessly fatal flaw that caused it to blow up in space. And in that case, that would be, you know, the candidate himself.
Yeah.
Jeremy in Vermont let me know that plant visit, the Honeywell plant visit by the Death Yam. Trevor Noah of The Daily Show took that entrance clip that Trump made to the plant yesterday and took out the Guns N' Roses and added the bell ringing and the theme of the WWE Undertaker's music.
What is his name? The Death Yam?
Yes, I like the Death Yam.
I like that. Write that down.
That's Carol Baker. subject line, Scott's organ. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Dan writes, did you know J.S. Bach had 21 kids? His organ had no stops.
Well, I would say so, yes. Well, one of those children.
And by the way, the guy you just heard, the guy playing Baron Harkonnen, was portrayed, Ron tells us, by Kenneth McMillan, who died at 56 years of age.
Yes, Kenny McMillan, yes. Yes. But one of the lesser-known children of said Mr. Bach was, I think, his 28th child or something, the infamous PDQ Bach, which if you have access to YouTube, if you look up the music of PDQ Bach, you will hear such things as the Unbegun Symphony.
Oh, I'm well familiar with PDQ Bach, yes.
Because he was born too late. It consists of a third and fourth movement because he was born too late to write the first two movements. But my music teacher, my first 2 years in high school, was pals, went to school with Peter Schickele, the creator of PDQ Bach, which is how I found out about him. Because he'd piss away the music period playing PDQ Bach albums for all of us in the, it was like the first class of the day. You know, you don't want to pick up your trumpet and blow that early in the morning. So you've got to have something to occupy the hour. And so we learned about PDQ Bach, the Unbegun Symphony, Mercy.
Oh, and you'll love this. David in South Carolina, Stan, let us know. Because of social distancing, the University of South Carolina Gamecocks football team and the university plans to only allow 30,000 people into the stadium of the University of South Carolina this fall. As David,
what does it normally hold?
90. Jeez. With the single exception of the Vanderbilt Stadium, most of the SEC stadiums get north of 100,000. As David puts it, yeah, okay then.
I have a prediction, Bob. The card flip display is not going to be very impressive. if you've only got 30,000 people in a stadium that accommodates 90,000 and you can't sit close together, that card flip is going to be uglier than the Trump administration's performance. What is it, Mabel? What is that? That was my favorite part of the football game, was the card flip deal.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that takes some skill, by the way. I've never done it. But I understand that you've got to be pretty sharp to be on the card flipping team up in the stands. Because it's like pixels. You fuck up enough pixels and you mess up the picture. Or the graphic or whatever. God, the things we talk about. Maybe it's this heat. It's supposed to be cooler later this week. But they said that earlier this week, and it's still hotter than fuck.
You know, I really don't care to hear you complain about the heat.
Oh, well, what are you? Are you doing au natural tonight?
Well, no, it's just that the low tomorrow night is 30. The low Saturday night is 33. The low Monday night is 33.
It's May, Bob.
Yeah. The high Saturday is 46.
What?
The high Monday is 51.
What the hell's going on back there?
Somebody broke the weather in Appalachia.
I would dash off a strongly worded message to whoever's in charge of that in your state. What is the slogan for West Virginia? The almost heaven state, or what do they call it?
Wild wonderful.
Oh, yes, wild wonderful. I should have remembered that.
Although Joe Manchin did try to change it when he was governor. Yeah, for a year or so, he changed it to open for business. That did not go over well.
I remember that. Well.
And yes, yes, they are. Yes, they are. They are. The Death Star is marketing. I wish I was kidding. Maggot masks.
Well, that's almost predictable.
Yep.
Jesus, I just hope that enough people in all the right places have enough sense to vote in a manner consistent with not letting this guy be reelected, Bob. I'm just a
okay. All right. So here's our little ray of fucking sunshine moment for the evening.
I'm gonna
ask you to do something that's gonna and the rest of the community too. Stop asking us to do things, Bob. I'm gonna ask you to do this.
All right.
What happens? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna think? How are you gonna behave if that stupid fucker gets reelected?
You've made, as hot as it is, Bob, you've made my blood run absolutely ice cold. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, I'll play with it. I'll speculate. Again, I got to refill the coffee cup here, Bob, to tackle that one. Mercy. What am I going to do if he manages to fool enough people or rig the system or the situation or both and manages to win an electoral victory? Because you know he's not going to win. He already didn't win a popular vote victory. But in our system, as it currently is constituted, popular vote don't make no never mind. Right?
Right. Because racist anachronism.
Yeah. So if he manages to pull out an electoral victory of sorts, what is he going to do? I think the appropriate way to phrase that question in the form of a question is, what isn't he going to do? Wouldn't that be the better way?
Because the larger point I'm trying to make is that there's no easy way out of this. I mean, I'm looking at a story from CNN right now that mentions a new report co-authored by pandemic experts John Barry and Mark Lipsitch. And according to these two experts, they expect the pandemic to last for up to 2 more years. They also say that the situation may get, their words, not mine, considerably worse than what we've seen so far.
Well, let me interject something that will help answer the question that you put to me. You remember 2004 and the election that was held that year?
Yeah.
Do you remember a phrase being bandied about not changing horses in midstream during a time of war?
I do.
And do you remember not long ago Trump said, this is like a war,
and now people flinging themselves into public and LARPing and smollicking all over each other, they're warriors. But, of course, there will be no death benefits and there will be no medals. Now, he'd like to have... If he could get a parade, he'd like to have a parade.
Well, in their mind, they're warriors out there supporting freedom, okay? But we know that the other word that they actually are, that they don't know about, is their casualties, potentially. Every fucking last one of them. And as if that's not, I mean, that's not a bad idea to kill off a few hundred or a thousand or 100,000 or tens of thousand Trump voters. I'll sign up for that, you know, by means of a virus. But it carries with it the possibility of taking out a bunch of us as well, because we've got to interact and mingle with these fuckers. And that could be the plan from the get-go. I'm not real big on planned things. But then again, you get to a point where you say, well, fuck, I wouldn't put it past him. Because if the guy thrives, if you look at the way he conducted his so-called business, he always wanted to have people off balance and have some amount of chaos ensuing at any given time. Because apparently he thought he was smart enough in the world of wheeling and dealing to have that work to his benefit. And sometimes it did, and sometimes it obviously didn't. Well, the stakes have been ratcheted up with this thing and this man's madness to where it doesn't matter what he believes. The reality is he's the fucking last person we want in charge at this point, because it has no chance of getting better anytime soon, and every conceivable chance of getting far, far worse quicker than we expect. Am I right so far?
I think you're pretty close.
You know, now we see this, obviously. The people on the other side either don't see it, may see it, but are afraid to say it, or the ones, his fucking minions in the House and Senate, many of whom are up for grabs in November, I'm sure they know how the bread is buttered. And if they were dealing with anybody who was a more traditional politician, who had brain cells that would bang together occasionally, and the man was able to form coherent thoughts and sentences, they would have probably, some of them, spoken up by now and said, hold the fuck on. But we're not dealing with that caliber of elected Republican. And we're not dealing with a great number of Republican voters, and maybe even a few moderates who decided that they could stomach Trump way easier than they could stomach Hillary Clinton. You know, we're no longer dwelling. Our zip code is not.
Well, look, for a while there, from time to time, you would see some maggots who would say, I survived 8 long years of that Obama. You can survive Trump. Well, there's 70,000 people and climbing who cannot and did not.
Yeah. And that number will for a long, long time, will continue to increase.
By the end of June, the death toll, because we're not to the end of May. By the end of June, the death toll will probably be 200,000.
Yeah.
Because June itself is going to be 3,000 a day for 30 days. 90,000 dead in 1 month. And at that point in time, we're going to be all opened up again, Scott. And we're going to be open for business, just like Joe Manchin says. But I don't know. I mean, I'm glad to see the little restaurant culture here in where I live, which is a wonderful little culture of locally owned restaurants, you know, that are, you know, that economic force multiplier, the money staying in the community, all of that good stuff. They're doing curbside and they're holding on for dear life.
Of course. Because there's nothing else they can do, really.
I want them to survive. But, you know, standing shoulder to shoulder with 150 people in a tiny little space, listening to awesome music, is not coming back anytime soon. And if 30,000 South Carolinians pack the stadium there in Columbia next fall to watch their beloved Gamecocks play ball, you know, you know the motto of the University of South Carolina, nobody licks our cocks. and then they start dying, and then the Rona starts running rampant around the campus again. Again, I think this bears repeating. We now know that the virus that tore through Wuhan is not the same virus that's tearing through the United States right now, especially the eastern half of the United States. Because it got to Europe and it mutated all to fuck.
Yeah.
and became worse and more virulent and more toxic and more deadly.
And those are the hardest types of viruses to develop a vaccine for, because you're not even through with the trials, and it's gone through several mutations.
And I think I can't help but think that all this talk of a vaccine is so much smoke. Sure, keep working on it. Maybe you'll get lucky. Probably an antiviral is better in terms of just being able to treat the people who get sick. But another problem obtains, and that is that the for-profit drug manufacturers will be the ones who decide who gets the drug and who does not.
Well, here's my question, you know, because we've got to start thinking about this or talking about this at some point in the not too distant future. How does an opponent and an opposition party run in times like these? Because you got to think, and to get a sense of where we are, that you are here on this mole map, to get an ongoing sense of the you are here at any given moment, you've got to look at what is not normal. We've got here in San Diego, one of our biggest industries is the United States Navy and the Marines to a certain extent. But our second biggest industry is tourism. And what we do here every summer and have done for the past 50 summers, which is known the world over.
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Well, there's no Comic-Con this year. There may not even be one on a delayed basis. They were talking about, well, maybe we'll be able to do it in September or October. Well, to see that one hand there? Wish in that one, and then do something else in the other one.
Yeah.
And
see which one fills up, right.
So that's just one thing here locally. But nationally and really globally, it's going to have some impact. There's not going to be a Democratic convention this year, not in any form that we'd recognize. There's not. You can only get so many fucking video boxes on even the biggest TV screen. You know, if they're going to try to do a TV video box convention, the Democrats or the Republicans. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to be able to vote.
You've heard the phrase "new normal" bandied around. This is not a new normal, because there's nothing normal about this. I can't adequately give voice to how unnormal this is. We've got decisions coming up, and I don't throw this about idly, because I know people. I know there are people who make their livings this way and that way and the other way. But we have a right coming out of this thing, because the one thing we know is that this is not the last one, and that as long as human behavior remains as bad and sketchy and poorly considered as it is and was to create the circumstances under which this virus became zoonotic and got into the human population, there's going to be another one. Now, we don't have to handle it as badly as we've handled this one. We haven't handled it badly. It was handled badly by the White House. Plain and goddamn simple. Yeah. All right? But there's going to be another one. And knowing that, I think it's okay to ask certain questions. For instance, do we really need Disney World? Universal Orlando, all of that stuff. Do we really need, and my county relies on it, okay? This whole area relies on it. But do we really need tourism? Think about what tourism is. Just going somewhere for the fuck all of going somewhere.
Well, it's a money-making enterprise in lieu of industry, is what it is. Isn't that pretty much what tourism is?
Yeah, I mean, it's an industry in its own respect.
It's a locally impactful money making industry.
I read somewhere that the capacity of Disney World is 300,000 human beings, and like I said, that means a lot of people have jobs, and they are shitty jobs, bad jobs, working for Disney World. To that extent, Andrew Yang in this campaign was correct. We have got to rethink what work means. You know, do we need 2.2 million people in the air every day?
I was thinking about that the other day.
I mean, we're finding out that you can get a hell of a lot done on group meeting platforms. It's not sexy and it's not fun, and you don't get to sit crammed next to somebody like sardines in a can for 6 hours on a flight by some shitty airline. You don't get to do any of that, but you still get the work done. Am I saying no more air flights? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it might be time for a rethink. And so you're talking about a whole lot of people out of work. Where do they go to work? How do you support people who have been fucked out of their jobs? And I'm not talking about, I don't want to fuck anybody out of a job. But they've been fucked out of a job. And how are they, you got frontline workers right now, Scott, who are terrified. We've got them in our community, and they've talked to us frankly and bluntly about how they feel about all this. And so, you're going to send people back to work in Disney World? I mean, there are so many actually unnecessary things that we do in this country, because some goddamn gazillionaire has figured out he can make a buck off of it, and B, pay some people some shitty wages to help him make those gazillions.
I think what you're getting at, as I'm hearing it, is you've got pretty much meaningless work to accommodate activities which are equally meaningless when
for the sole purpose of making some gazillionaire richer.
But not only the buck, but the diversion on the part of the person going to the theme park. Now, my question is, what is it from which they need to be to have their attention diverted? The reality around them? I get where you're going. What if the people who man the turnstiles and the cotton candy stand and the T-shirt stand and the rides at Disneyland or Walt Disney World, what if those folks were trained in such a way or brought their natural interests and proclivities and what's in their heart, their heart's desire, to solving all the things from which we're stumbling over ourselves to have moments of diversion from? Is that something that's worth looking at?
Well, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd coined the term. No, I think he picked it up from someone else. Amusing ourselves to death.
Yes. Yes, and that,
James in Illinois points out, we can replace most of the airline traffic with high-speed rail and never leave the ground.
Yeah. But we've got to want to, and we've got to see the possibilities inherent in pausing a moment, taking stock, and reallocating our energies, talents, and resources. Now, is that part of the next 4 years under a Trump administration? Don't kid yourself, not for a single solitary moment. I'm not even sure if that's part of the upcoming 4 years of a Biden administration. because he's going to be as busy as fluorescent piss trying to clean up the mess left by the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Again, it's this business of you can look back every 4 years at either wasted or totally missed opportunities, going back almost as far as you want to, at least in my lifetime. You know, the 50s could have been much different under an Adlai Stevenson two terms in office than they were under an Ike and Dick, emphasis on Dick, administration in the 1950s. There may not have been a crying need for somebody like John Kennedy to be elected in 1960, because there wouldn't be a need for a new frontier, because the previous 8 years would have been along the lines of something that wouldn't require.
Well, now you've moved over into that parlor game played by people in corduroy jackets with the leather elbow patches.
And pipes. Don't forget pipes. I am a pipe smoker.
Meerschaum pipes.
But you get what I'm saying, though.
Right, sure. Yeah, no.
About
no.
the missed opportunities and the wasted opportunities.
But there are so many of those little points of crux. John Kennedy survives. John Kennedy dies, but LBJ doesn't get fucked up in Vietnam. That, you know, no Nixon.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We can never go back. We can only take now and what we know from the past and fashion it into something way more workable for the future, for the present, and then the future.
One can only hope. Scott, I've got an email here that I absolutely have to share, and I want to, and I think we got Dave from the Blind on the phone too. So
okay,
I'm gonna cut this short and try to get to it all, because I'm looking at an email that just, you know, I understand it, but it makes me terribly sad. But I want to share it, because when people pour their hearts into emails, I like to get as many of them out as I possibly can. And I just noticed this one. It got caught up in a flurry of them early on, and I had missed it until just now. Have yourself a good evening. Enjoy your coffee. And
we'll put a bookmark in it, but this is a conversation that will continue. We know that.
Yeah, it has to, by definition.
Yeah. Well, our futures and lives, our very lives depend on it. So there.
Exactly. Scott, take care, my friend.
You too, Bob. See ya.
Later. Our buddy Scott in San Diego. Darlene sent this in a little bit ago, and I hope Darlene's still listening. She sent this in along about the time I was talking about the Michael Flynn business, which is as dirty a piece of judicial skullduggery as we've seen, and that says a lot within these 3 years. Darlene's subject line says, "It's not hyperbole. The government corruption is deep and ubiquitous. I'm wondering what's the point. They've won. The Republicans have won." And as far as a point is concerned, Darlene, they're not happy winning. They want to win and smear our faces in the blood and gore and dirt, the feces and the urine and the sweat and the vomit of their victory. Winning isn't enough. It can never be enough for them. They have to show us that not only do they win hard and they win dirty, and that that there is no point in opposing them. I mean, this is fascist behavior. Straight out of those 13 or 14 defining points of fascism, Jude sent that along to me a little bit ago. It's worth looking up. "Let's face it," Darlene continues. "The Dems are weak and have rigged the system too. They are bought. DNC, DLC, old school Dems, Blue Dogs, Dinos, establishment or whatever. Go ahead and quibble with me on the terminology, as it's beside the goddamn point. They're bought too."
to some extent, they are. They are not the entirety of the Democratic Party, though. I will quibble over that. Then this, Biden is inept and a rapist. Call me old-fashioned in the Me Too movement that was thrown under the bus last week. Was it? I mean, when Time's Up says we looked at her case, I mean, are those the women we don't believe? I don't know. Darlene says, the realization that women are still being used as props and that Me Too was a scam has completely broken me and other women I know who were far more victimized by men than me. Sorry, folks, but I believe Tara Reid. There you go. Crucify me. What else do I have to lose? Well, apart from Crazy Dave's crucifixion emporium out in Taliban, Indiana, we're not in the crucifying business here. As I've said before, one of the things that I cherish most about this community is that we can disagree without being disagreeable. I do not believe Tara Reid. She's changed her story too many times. Her story has too many inconsistencies. If you apply the what would happen if I took this before a grand jury test to it, a grand jury would laugh it out of the room. Especially if you disclose to the grand jury things like her unequivocal support for Biden and then changing to this story. Or if you take if you even know the layout of the Senate rotunda, the rotunda under the Senate office buildings that leads to the little train that runs between the office buildings and the Capitol. Even that doesn't add up. She would have had to walk right by a Capitol police desk in the immediate aftermath of whatever she said of what she says happened to her happened to her. Right past it. She claims that she was told to meet Biden in the basement with a gym bag, but Biden was going to the gym that's on the first floor of Russell. And his office was on the second. Why wouldn't she bring the bag to him at the gym? There's too much. If you laid out her story and then laid out these and then laid out the rest of the facts to a grand jury, they would scrawl in a great big Sharpie, "No true bill" across your proposed indictment. No crucifixions here. But isn't it curious that before this ever came up, the first thing that they tried to do was to Al Franken Joe Biden? Oh, he's too touchy-feely. Oh, he hugs too much. That's exactly what they did to Al Franken when Al Franken had done nothing wrong. This is all too convenient for me, that is. People who choose to believe or can choose, it's, as they say, free country. But there are people out there who are willing to sacrifice anything and everything to achieve their political ends. The story this evening of Diana Andrade, who accepted five digits worth of money, over $10,000, to lie about Dr. Anthony Fauci having raped her. But then her conscience couldn't stand it, and she came forward and brought receipts. The people on the other side are, like I said, they're not happy just winning. They want to win and humiliate and harm and hurt. They want to destroy. And that's what this is, in my considered opinion. I actually, in my life, have gone through the process of examining accusations of sexual misconduct. Law enforcement would investigate, bring me their investigation. I would investigate their investigation. I would look at the statements they took and call the witnesses into my office and question them. Because by the time you get into a courtroom, it's too late to do any of that. You have to make these judgments of credibility early on. And you have to make them to the best of your ability. And I saw far more of these than I care to recall. And only in a couple of instances did I not take it to the grand jury. And along the way, I will add into this, and not at great detail, I did that a long time ago. But I look at these accounts and I look at these allegations not as some dude, but as a rape survivor in my own right. And I think that changes my perspective a little bit. Why, among other things, did she make her report to the Metro DC police instead of the actual law enforcement agency that has jurisdiction over the area where the alleged crime was alleged to have taken place? I don't know. Darlene goes on and says, I'll say that the man who tries to mansplain otherwise to my face wouldn't know what hit him. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not there at your face. But the law is the law. And facts are, you know, Ronald Reagan said, well, mommy, facts are stupid things. The actual line is facts are stubborn things. I don't disbelieve Tara Reid because I'm a diehard Joe Biden fan. He was not my first choice, my second, or even my third. I disbelieve Tara Reid because Tara Reid herself has made herself unbelievable. Darlene then says, the frustration and anger in me has been boiling for a while now. The dropping of charges against Flynn just broke my dam. The entire system has completely fractured and is finally crashing and burning around us. I'm so exhausted and tired of being abused by my government and this massively dysfunctional culture. And I get that. Maybe more than you might suspect. There's a pressure that comes from being stalked by something you cannot see, hear, feel, touch, taste, and knowing that what is stalking you, your culture, your friends, your neighbors, is death itself. And it takes a toll. And in the midst of all of this, to watch the indecency unfold that is this maggot regime to realize that there is no shame, that there is no bottom, that every basement has a cellar and every cellar has a sub-basement. We are shocked but not surprised. And that's why I asked the question of Scott that I asked a little bit ago. What happens if this fucker wins? How much damage can he do in 8 more months? If he loses, what kind of evil, vicious, vindictive, ape shit will he pull then? Just as a way of punishing the country for insufficiently worshiping his godhead. Once upon a time, Aaron Burr was referred to as an American Cataline. It really didn't fit. But we now have an American Cataline, and the American Cataline is occupying the office of the President of the United States of America. And I was hoping, I continue to hope, that we will support each other in this community and give each other the strength to carry forward from day unto day unto day. That's what I hope. Because I can't imagine what it must be like to be trying to get through this all alone. It would be a horror. A horror. So while, Darlene, while I cannot even propose to put myself in your shoes. I can try to be sympathetic and I can try to be empathetic. And that's all I think we really can do. And I say that in the greatest degree of good faith that I can muster. And I know there's not a lot of excitement about Joe Biden. I'm not excited about him. I'm not. I am excited about the possibility that this country can be better just by virtue of having anybody but Donald Trump in the White House, and he fits that bill. Clean up the mess, asks Ron. Grandpa Joe has already said that he was going to leave the embassy in Jerusalem. He's already floated Larry Summers and Jamie Dimon for his economic team. What makes anyone think that Joe would roll back much of what Trump has perpetrated? Miss Nancy's not going to instigate any major legislative initiatives that could be considered progressive. At best, all we can hope for is hold the line and stop losing ground. Last I checked, Ron, there are some pretty major legislative initiatives that have already been initiated, passed the House, and about 400 of them are sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk. Now, if we get the Senate, do I have any faith at all in Chuck Schumer? Not one iota. It'd be nice if we could get a Senate majority leader who wouldn't be a milksop, a dish rag, or a doormat, or a punching bag. Because we are in a time that cries out for leadership. Steve from North Carolina says, We bought a travel trailer a couple of years ago to travel and vacation in. With the Rona and stuff going on, I'm glad I can take my house with me when we want to go somewhere, hopefully this summer. We have everything we need. We just have to keep our distance from everyone else. Plus, we can control our environment as much as possible, just putting this out there to anybody else that likes to travel. I love to travel. And that would be a great way to do it. I just don't know what kind of a nation we're going to be traveling in if this thing is going to last 2 years. Maybe that's the motto of the Death Star, a quote from Woody Hayes coming from Irish Dave. I'd rather be a bad winner than a good loser. Meanwhile, Tara Reid has hired a hotshot pettifogger from Manhattan, a lawyer by the name of Douglas Wigdor. He's a Trump supporter. For me, the proof in the pudding will be when she shows up at a Trump rally or he invites her to a presidential debate. That'll tell me everything I needed to know. And I think back to that story that began the program, Diana Andrade and the allegations against Dr. Fauci. And I think what a genius piece of rat fuckery. Because even had she not outed herself, at some point in time, Jacob Wohl and Jack Berkman could have used it to say, hey, some women lie about it, and outed her as a means of defending Trump. Because this is out there. As a means of deflecting from the 20-plus rape allegations against Donald J. Trump. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program. Okay, no.
Hey, Bob.
Oh, there you are.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
More important, never mind me, how are you?
Well, I've got some good news from the doctor. My oxygen level was at 100% saturation.
That's good.
And he told me to self-quarantine for 10 days. So, I'm trying. The management here wants me to leave and get a doctor's note because in order to stay separate from everybody, I gotta pee in bottles. But I have been occupying my time between calling the health department. I heard that the county has something for homeless people where they check them into a motel and isolate them. And I'm trying to get a hold of them so that I can do that. But trying to get through to anybody is like pulling teeth.
I have no doubt.
So I'm going to call my representative tomorrow early because his legislative assistant is working remotely. And I'm going to ask for some help because I can't do this on my own.
No, you can't. How is Christine?
My brother can't. Well, I got a text from her short time ago. She's going back to the VA because she's lost part of her sense of taste and her sense of smell.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And that does not bode well. But I have to correct you on one thing, Bob.
Yeah?
The we at Crazy Days do not crucify the unwilling. You have to be 18.
Ah, yes, okay. You have to be of age and desirous of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that clears a lot of legal hurdles. You know, assault, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Attempted murder. You know, that kind of avoids all of that. And being a ethical real fake business, we just decided to avoid the whole situation. Say, now 18 is the beginning point. But, no. I have been occupying my time a little bit, and I need some help from the Horn Family Community Congregation.
Yes.
I'm making a list of songs that would fit the situation, the whole COVID-19 situation. And I've started putting an album together. I'm planning on 12 tracks. And I've got four definite. Woody Guthrie's I Ain't Got No Home, also known as Old Man Trump. From a Distance by Bette Midler. Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf. And Keep Your Hands to Yourself by
Georgia Satellites.
Yeah, the Georgia Satellites. I need 8 more songs that would fit. But I figured I've got a good start on the first 4. And I was listening to Woody Guthrie on YouTube, and what a genius that man was. I am amazed by him. I mean, although I know his work, I wasn't so familiar with Woody's work. So I started listening a few months ago, and I was blown away by just how much that man had to say. Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here. Hopefully the suggestions will pour in. This is the kind of thing that usually engages the community. Remote.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking.
Remote jocking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We could do that. And if they send in the suggestions, I'll consider them, and I'll rank them, and I'll send you a copy of the album. We just haven't got a title for it yet.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Dave, take care of yourself, my friend, and I hope you get some help getting some help having some care taken of you. God knows you deserve it.
I will, Bob.
The first suggestion is coming in. Randy in PA says, Dave, use the Nancy Griffith version of the song From a Distance.
Okay. I'll look it up.
So we've got a beginning. Dave, take care of yourself.
All right.
We'll talk soon.
I will, Bob.
Keep checking in.
Everybody.
Share your reality with us, and we'll share our best hopes with you.
Thanks, Bob. And by the way, I told Christine about your good wishes and that you're pulling for it. She appreciates it.
We all are. We all are.
So thank you. Stay safe, everybody. And stay home, damn it.
And avoid maggots like the plague, all right, Bob. Because they are.
Because they are, yeah. Well, I was thinking of attending a Trump rally and blasting Woody Guthrie's Old Man Trump, but...
Yeah, well, I think they wouldn't take too kindly to it, Dave. You take care of yourself,
well,
you hear?
All right, Bob.
I hope you got plenty of jars. Jesus.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, and I can order food from for delivery from Walmart. They will deliver food in. So
good, Dave.
Regardless, I can take
be as well that. Be as well as you can be, and I hope and we hope you stay asymptomatic, my friend.
Well, no, I'm actually symptomatic.
Oh no,
that's why they tested me. Because Christine tested positive, I told them, and I have some of the symptoms. So, yeah, my brother came down, Bob came down, and he was all masked and gloved up, and he's got a burn pit on his property, and he said he didn't trust his laundry detergent to kill it, so he was going to burn the clothes he was wearing.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, hey, if that's what he has to do to feel safe, I got no problem.
You do what you got to do.
Right. All right, Bob, I'll talk to you guys later. I will post something later, so I'll talk to you guys.
All right, sounds good, Dave. Later.
Bye
now. Hopefully by Moran Monday, that noise that attends calls on the stress line will be no more. For Dave's album, Hard Times, by David Newman and Ray Charles, that suggestion comes from Scott in San Diego. James in Illinois also echoing From a Distance by Nancy Griffith. So here we are a little over time at the end of another program. There will be fresh outrages tomorrow. Jesus. But y'all hang in there. We're going to do our best to hang in. You hang in. And we'll hang in together and we'll get through this together. I Baudelaireized a little bit of Shakespeare last night. Shakespeare's Henry V, Act 4, Scene 3, from the Martian Folio. For they that wear their masks and gauntlets with me shall be my siblings, be they ne'er so base. And the good person shall cough into their elbow and say, I had this hack upon St. Rona's day. And gentlefolk now asleep in Oklahoma shall hold their humanity cheap that they did not mask with us upon St. Rona's day. We few, we happy few, we band of siblings. Did you notice I took all the gender references out of that? Yeah, see? Yeah. Thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air and make this community possible. Thank you to our anonymous benefactor for the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose, Have a Show on Me challenge this evening. And thanks to everyone who responded to it. Thank you. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever way you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room earlier. Thanks to everybody. You know, I don't say this, but thanks to everybody who comes and chats. Thank you. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And program note, coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the Head On live stream and on the Horns Tune In, it's the Mike Malloy Show. So enjoy. Easy peasy. It'll be right there starting at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Yes, yes indeed. And thank you, Boss Man Wayne. I was talking to Boss Man Wayne earlier today. He's as perplexed and baffled, but I need to get him on the program here in a little here in a few days, just to share his thinking going forward. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask, wear your gloves. Remain socially distant and avoid maggots like the plague because they are. Later, y'all.